If you stay in Psalm 23, our sermon scripture this morning is the first verse of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've entitled the message, if you take notes, The Good Shepherd. And before we begin, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us get a good understanding of this text. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for all the things you do. Before Jesus left, he said, I will not leave you orphans. And he sent you to guide us, to teach us, to help us grow and to indwell us. So as we come to this wonderful verse, we do pray as it goes out. If there's one listening who doesn't know Christ as Savior, we pray that today might be the day they meet the captain of their salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, the good shepherd. And for others, Lord, we pray that as the message goes out, it would bring them comfort. It would bring them joy. Might even bring them conviction, Lord. Oh God, whatever we need, we pray as we look at this verse that you open it up to our minds and our hearts, that we might leave here with a blessing, with an application, with a better attitude for the upcoming week. Whatever it is you have for us, Lord, oh God, we pray that you would bless us with it as we look into this wonderful psalm written by your servant David. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. 23rd psalm, well-known psalm, but yet not well-known enough to be used daily. The 23rd Psalm, in our text, he's talking about, David's talking about God's provision. He's talking about his protection, and he's talking about God's presence as a benevolent shepherd and a gracious host. That's the theme of this Psalm. He guides us through the green pastures and the still waters, and to a triumphant banquet in the face of adversity. And all of us are going through that right now. And he does it through the imagery of a shepherd leading his flock through difficult paths to a place of rest. And I got to thinking about that, and the Lord put it on my heart. And because of the times we live in today, because of the things we're facing today, I want to take the next few weeks and I want to go one verse at a time. I rarely do that. I think I've only done that twice in all the years I preached. But it's so important today because of where the United States is and where we all are individually. This wonderful psalm is here to help us. And too many times we just read over it or through it. So I want to take our time for the next couple of weeks, and I want to go through each verse individually. And to help you have a better understanding, I've included in your bulletin the 21st Psalm by Charles Spurgeon, verse 1. And every week I have his thoughts on this verse. I want you to take that home with you, and I'll be sure that you have it in your bulletin. I want you to take it home, and I want you to think about it. I want you to think about how it affects your life and what you can do with it in your life. So with that in mind, let's look at our text. In verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the verse we're going to look at this morning. The first thing I want you to note is how God speaks to us. For example, if an angel proclaimed, like they did in with Mary and Joseph, if an angel proclaimed out loud, the Lord is my shepherd, that wouldn't bring us much assurance. That wouldn't give us much comfort. What do angels know about a frail, sinful heart that humans have? They're not human. What do they know about human beings? Or what if a voice from heaven just declared out of heaven, the Lord is my shepherd? That too would ring hollow to souls who face adversity every day. It was just, maybe it was thunder. But when a voice, when we hear a voice from a brother, a man weak and needy like us, cry out, "The Lord is my shepherd," that's an encouragement to every soul. And it strengthens us. And that person was David. And that's what he did. He cried out, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we see through David's faith, we see patience, sorrow, and prayer, the mirror and pattern of ourselves. We see that all in him because he's just like us. Although he was a king, he suffered adversity just like us. He came from he had a dysfunctional family. His faith was tested. He went a year with unrepented sin. So when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd," we can take strength from somebody who has firsthand experience at being led by the good shepherd. This is a voice of personal experience we can recognize and we can relate to. The word shepherd, for those that are interested, I was interested. The first time the metaphor shepherd was used in Genesis 48:15, when Jacob declared, "The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day." That was Jacob. "The God who has been my shepherd all of my life." See, those people would have understood shepherd because they all knew about sheep. And they know that the shepherd is always there to protect the sheep. So what wonderful imagery it gives us, because we're called the lambs of God, the sheep of God. And the word shepherd is used in the word itself, and the variances of it is used over 100 times in the Bible. Now, why would God use it that much if it wasn't important? To look at him as the shepherd and yourself as a lamb, as a sheep. Psalm 100 is an example. It says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Each and every one of you are walking every day in God's pasture. You might not think it. You go to work every day. You travel different places, but all of it is God's pasture, and he puts you in that pasture. He puts you in that pasture today. He put you in that pasture. You were born to be in that pasture in this time frame, in this generation, and to walk as one of his people. And 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4 says, Jesus, the chief shepherd, said, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." That's what he's telling Peter. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." That's why I'm never going to retire. God has given me strength. He's given me a clear mind. He's given me the ministry of teaching and preaching only his word. We use nothing else here but his word. Why? Because first and foremost of all, nothing else is worth bringing to your attention but his word. Because every single day you need his word. You need his word to get through your day, to get through your night. Especially the dark nights, the nights of loneliness, when the phone doesn't ring, or when the checkbook doesn't balance. You need his word. You need him, the good shepherd. You need him in your life. And you know what? He's there. He's always there for you. And Hebrews 13:20 says he's never going to leave you. Jesus is called the risen shepherd. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." He's going nowhere. He resurrected from the dead. He made an atonement for your sins. As the great shepherd, he's freed you. You're free from the bondage of sin. You're free from the bondage of this world. For the first time in your life, you know the difference between good and bad, evil and good. You know the difference because you measure it with this. And this is the divine measuring rod of your life and everything in it, right here. And there's no exceptions. No exceptions. You see, it pleased the Lord to use the term shepherd because it illustrates the sacrifice, the devotion, and the care God gives all of his sheep. Is that not true? Which one of you who called yourself a Christian or a disciple of Jesus Christ, which one of you have not felt his hand in your life? I say if you do, if there's anyone that says that, then you need to go to Calvary because he's in every life and we feel it every day. You can't live your life as a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, unless the Holy Spirit is in you and you have the strength, the supernatural strength to get through anything that's going on in your life. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be political, it could be financial, it could be emotional. You have the power. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things without exception. And who knew better than David? Who knew that better than David when he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He begins the psalm, if you notice, by claiming God is his own. How does he do that? Look at the word. The Lord is my shepherd. How many times, brothers and sisters, do we do that? How many times do you claim God as your own? When you get up in the morning before you start your day, do you do that? Do you claim him? Do you say, Lord, I got a busy day today. I got a terrible day today. I got a great day today. But you're my shepherd. Lead me through this day and let me glorify you. Feed me as it pleases you. Draw me to closer to yourself so that I can feel your hand in my life and I can put you in every equation of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. You need to claim him. And I would also note that in the original language, that text was written in the present tense. It means it's a continual action. It's a continual action. The Lord is my shepherd. It's never going to stop. Not here and not in eternity either. It's never going to stop. He will always be your shepherd. What did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus coming? Behold, the Lamb of God. He was not only the shepherd, he was the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb. He knows who, and you're a lamb. He knows all the things you're going through because he went through them himself. So when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you can hold that. You can take that, bless you. You can take that. You can take that home. And when that night is dark, or when something's going on in your life that's difficult, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How hard are those nine words to remember? I hear people say, oh, you don't have a good memory. Nine words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Memorize them. Take them home. Continual action. And that means that you, as God's elect people, are under his continual pastoral care. You're under his care. I'm the under shepherd, that is his minister, but you are directly under his care. And the term is to be taken personally. The word my is a personal pronoun. My, me, you, your shepherd. It means he continually cares for you. He continually watches over you. He preserves you. And he delivers you every single day of your life. Because the Lord is my shepherd, The promise of Isaiah 41:10 belongs to every one of his people. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I told Wendy, I want to wallpaper my kitchen with that so I can see it all around me. Listen, fear not, for I am with you. I am your God. And then listen to all the I wills. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will, I will, I will. Because he's the good shepherd. And you're his sheep. He'll deliver you. That's also why Paul could write Romans 8:31. Because he understood what a good shepherd was. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against you if God is for you? Who would dare fight with God and think they win? They won't. And although we struggle, although some of us are martyred, although some of us struggle for, it seems, forever, he never leaves. You have the victory. And the victory is in Jesus Christ. The victory is in the shepherd. The shepherd would never let a sheep do something that would destroy it. He's always careful to watch it, to help it. He'd leave all the other sheep just to go find one. And isn't that what he did with you and me? Didn't he find us lost in a world, in a dark world? Did he not bring us into his flock? Was not his blood the sacrificial blood of the Lamb that sanctified us and made us fit for the kingdom of God? Of course it was. We also see the Lord is my shepherd and what he does for his sheep. In John, turn with me to John chapter 10. John 10, 10 and 11. I want to read those two verses. John 10, 10 and 11. Here the shepherd declares, I came, Jesus speaking of himself, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what he did for you and I. That's what that cross is all about. And through his death and resurrection, and through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, his sheep were sanctified. Our sins are forgiven. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The new age of grace, when we have our communion, he said, this is the blood in the new covenant. He made a new covenant with the Father saying, I'm going to take Mario's sin and Lou's sin and Linda's sin and Brian's sin, and I'm going to shed my life for them. I'm going to use my blood to cover their sins or remove their sins. And he did. And then he came back. And he's shepherding us through our lives now. So not only did he save us, not only did he shed his blood for us, but now he's shepherding us. We're in his pastoral care every single day. Listen, he came into this world so that we would have abundant life. He came to save us, but he didn't just come to save us. He didn't want us just to exist. He wanted us to live an abundant life. And how many of us this morning can say with honesty in our hearts, how many of us can claim that we live in an abundant life? Are you living an abundant life or are you just existing? Are you a nominal Christian or are you a Christian that's living abundantly? No matter what happens, up to and including death, he's there leading you, guiding you, helping you, encouraging you, strengthening you. But in order for that to work, you have a responsibility to him, and that responsibility is to come to him. All who call upon the name of the Lord. And what does Jesus say in Matthew 10, 28? All you that are heavy laden, come to me. For my burden is light. All we have to do is go to him. And that abundant life is available to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you have or don't have. It's abundantly available to all of God's children. Beyond measure. And what's the only thing that stops us from living that abundant life? Us. We stop it. We stop it. We don't have the wherewithal to put God in every equation of our life. You know, sometimes I think I must have said this 700 times. That's a metaphor, but a lot. Put him in your life every day. Think of him every single day. Don't do anything before you speak to him. And we can do it. I mean, if you're a police officer and somebody's pointing at a gun at you, okay, you still have time to get a quick one out. Save me, Lord. Doesn't matter what it is. Go to him. Put him in the equation. The Lord is my shepherd. If you are a child of God, that verse belongs to you. You're to take that verse personally, and you're to live it every day and believe it every day. And how do you believe it? You live it. Religion isn't hard. This Bible is not hard to understand. It's simple to understand. All you have to do is have the want to do it. And if you do, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That'll be your daily bread every day. Not wanting, because the Lord is your shepherd. My shepherd. You have to claim an abundant life. When David wrote our psalm this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what he was writing from? He was writing from personal experience. He knew the Lord was his shepherd because ever since he was a kid, God provided for him. From childhood to manhood, he saw God's hand. He ate from God's hand. What did God call him? A man after my own heart. And you know why? Because he prayed to God for everything. The only thing he lacked was his personal life, but warring life as a general and as somebody that fought many, many tribes of people that were greater than him in number and weapons, he never lost because he would never go to war until he asked God. And even in his personal life, there was a couple of things that he fell very short of. But is that not true of us? And how about our wars? How many wars are you winning? If David won every one of his wars, you can win every one of your wars. All you have to do is the same thing he did. Go to God before you do anything. Put him in the equation. What shall I do, Lord? And he's not going to say, well, I think, Brian, maybe you should wait till Thursday. He's not going to do that. He's going to open a door or close a door or bring somebody to my attention to speak something to me about what's going on. How many times has that happened to you? It's called a confirmation. And in doing that, the wonderful thing about that is God speaking to your life. That's what it's about, children. It's about you speaking to God with everything that goes on, to everything that goes on in your life, and then listening and anticipating an answer. What child goes up to a loving parent and says, Mommy, will you help me with this? And the parent stays silent or says, no, do it yourself. It's not much, you don't feel the love when that happens, do you? God wouldn't do that to you. You go to God and you tell him, I got a broken heart for some reason. Help me. He will. If you have an attitude problem, or you need an attitude adjustment, go to him. Lord, I just don't have the default attitude of being spiritual. Would you help me? And he will. Why wouldn't he? You just have to put him in the equation. Sometimes it seems impossible. How many of you here, and we're all pretty much adults here, how many of us as adults haven't had problems we looked at that said impossible all over them? You're sitting here today. You got over them somehow. God will be there for you every single time, as he was for David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knew that. And that's what he's telling you and I this morning in our passage. As a boy, God delivered him from the paw of the lion and the bear. He told Goliath that God was going to deliver him, Goliath, to him that day. He was a 16-year-old boy or a teenager, and he did it with one stone. Why? Because God helped him do it, and he had faith that he would help him do it. And he did. Imagine a lion. I know a lot about animals. A lion or a bear, they are ferocious animals. And if a lion or a bear smells blood and they see a little kid, a person that's not very big, not very strong, he's prey too. What did he do? He killed him. Why? Because God delivered him into his hand. God has delivered each and every one of you children of his into, he has delivered you out of something. Maybe even yesterday, or maybe tomorrow, or even today. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He was writing from personal experience. And what about when he was relentlessly hunted like an animal by Saul for 12 years? With him and 700 men, and with the 700 men, don't forget, there were women and children in that group as well. It numbered well over 700. And God fed them every day. He fed them. He took care of them. And Saul didn't put a lance through him, did he? When he threw it at him, he delivered him through all of that. And as king of Israel, God guided his every step. And David loved God so much he wrote about it. Psalm 37. Turn there for me. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. Psalm 37, 23, 24. Here David writes, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Hasn't he done that with you, Doreen? Hasn't he done that with you, Tony, Mario, Linda, and Brian? Hasn't he done that for all of us? Hasn't he upheld us through something we've been through? Even before we were saved, he upheld us. For these reasons and so many more, David ends the first verse of Psalm 23 with, "I shall not want." I could take that home and live with that. I shall not want. I shall not. Four words. What a wonderful promise that is. Once again, David is giving us firsthand knowledge of how good God is, and how he will take care of you and tend to you and to every one of your needs. I shall not want. Isaiah 46:4. Here's what Isaiah 46:4 says to back up what David said. "Even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you." Again, I will bear, I will carry, I will deliver you. I shall not want. How can you want if you have the Creator promising you that he's going to take care of you and that he's going to deliver you, that he's going to carry you, deliver you, and that he's going to do that even into your old age and even into the next realm, the eternal realm? He's going to do that for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David knew what he was talking about, didn't he? He knows more about that than we do. Doesn't have to be that way. You see, I shall not want is really a cry of faith. It's faith. It's our heart. It's our heart telling our brains, we're not alone. That's what it's telling us. The Lord is my shepherd, and he promises us that in Hebrews 13:5, that we're never alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's never going to leave you. Never. Not now, and not in eternity. Now just think about that one thought. There's not one thing in your life that you do that he's not aware of, that he's not with you, there with you doing it. Now, that can be either good or bad, huh? I mean, if you're doing the right things, that's wonderful. But if you're not doing the right things, not so much. We need to understand that he's in this room right now. The Spirit of God is in this room right now. I shall not want is also words of trust. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. That's Paul. Who better to give us firsthand knowledge than him? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want our words of encouragement and conviction. They're convicting words. If the shepherd's voice seems far away because a believer wanders away, and we do that, don't we? We wander away, lack of prayer, lack of Bible study, not much fellowship, no real commitment to God, no strong commitment to God, we wander. And you know what the remedy to getting back is? Isaiah 55:6-7. Isaiah 55:6-7 is the remedy. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Get back to God. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Get back to God. Put him in everything. And there also, that verse, the Lord is my shepherd, is also convicting to those who are outside of Christ. If you're listening to this and you're outside of Christ and you haven't received him as your Lord and Savior and your shepherd, then you have only the promise of God's wrath. John 3:36, he who does not believe or live for the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You're in the wrong sheepfold. You would metaphorically be called the black sheep. And if you die in your sin, if you don't receive Christ as a payment for your sins and you die in your sins, you will enter eternity with them. You will pay for them yourself personally. Romans tells us that in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And he tells us in Romans 3:10, there's none of us are righteous. None of us deserve salvation. None of us do. We're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So who's your shepherd? If God isn't your shepherd, who do you think shepherding you? Yourself? No, we're spiritual creatures. You're a spiritual creature. So who would be shepherding a spiritual creature that wasn't being shepherded by God? Who would be doing that? The devil. He is the God with a little g of this world. The Lord has permitted him to run free in this world, and at least for the moment. And that's who you belong to. John 8:44 tells us that you are of the devil, your father, talking about people that didn't understand his word. And it's your will he wants to do. And if you leave this world, you will pay for that sin debt yourself. You don't have to. The good news is in Romans 10:13. All you have to do is repent of your sin, ask God to forgive you, and then do it with intent in your heart, with real sorrow for what you've done, Pick up the Bible, get involved with a Bible study, start learning and growing and walking, and then you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and you can live that every single day. If you want more information on that, call me or see me after the service, and I'll show you in his word how he says in Romans 10:13, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's all it takes. And this is that so tough? Is it tough to ask for forgiveness for something you've done? And we all know we've done it. You see me or call me. They are God's unbreakable promises. The Bible is that. He feeds us from the Bible. He protects us, promises of protection and comfort. And he's going to lead us as brothers and sisters in Christ to the sweet pastures of the new heaven and the new earth. Let's close with this. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 of Revelation 7. Thus saith the Lord, speaking of those sheep that the Lord is leading. He says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That belongs to you, Linda. Sue, it belongs to every single soul who claims Jesus Christ and lives for him every day. That's the spiritual takeout I leave you with this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You take those nine words home this morning, memorize and meditate on them. Claim the promises and apply them to your life, just like our brother David did. Then buckle up and watch what the good shepherd will do in your life. Let's pray.